Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.
Welcome to Golden State of Mindcast. This is Bram Kinchlow, and we have Nate Parham as well. Ivan is sadly missing today, but we'll do all right, and we'll launch forward into the great unknown of the two-man pod.
I think people just need to give us feedback if, you know, they really, really, really need Ivan. Because I could see the reason. I mean, you never know where this will go.
Well, but a lot of people did, to our credit, listen to our last podcast, which I'll probably link to in the links that I'll link to. But we got way off the rails, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast. Yeah. And a surprisingly high amount of people, for whatever reason, spent 40 minutes of their lives listening to
I really appreciate that.
It's a vote of confidence for sure.
It is.
I'm not really sure why they did that, but anyways, the past is the past and the future in the future. But the present is that we are recording this at about 4:45 p.m. West Coast time, and the NBA just released the list of NBA All-Star reserves. Obviously, the starters were announced about a week ago, but they just today released the names of the reserves. And as we hoped and suspected, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are both on that list, making the Warriors the only team in the league to have three All-Stars. Nate Parham, thoughts?
I mean, this was expected. So, man, this is weird. I am such a spoiled Warriors fan now. People keep calling me out on this, and it's so true. It was expected. I think, you know, you look around the league, like, of the reserves, of other people who are available for the reserves, I mean, who would you put over those two? So it would have been a shock if they were not on the team. We have talked about Klay Thompson before and people's perceptions about him around the league, which, you know, I still find interest. You still catch someone on Twitter or random people who think Klay Thompson's a bum. So, I think it's good. When I looked at the rosters, there weren't like, you know, some years there are just like glaring snubs, like, you know, Curry's left off or something crazy.
Right.
I didn't see glaring snubs. I know, like, we could probably get into an interesting discussion about Lillard versus Aldridge.
Right. That seemed to be the sticking point.
That's the one that's, that's probably the one that stands out as unfortunate. But
I can
totally see why Aldridge is on the All-Star team, too.
Right.
So I think maybe that's one where, yes, Lillard is probably deserving. There are so many spots, and it's just a matter of more so than him being snubbed and an obvious replacement for someone else. He's other than Kobe Bryant, who is clearly taking up a spot. But that aside, I mean, it's like it's not like something I would be mad about. Although I'm sure Blazers fans are, you know, probably feeling some kind of way about that.
Message board throwing out that message board heat right now.
Yeah.
Just lighten it up. Dave Deckard's timeline is in flames.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, you look at the Spurs, and granted, not to gloat, we crushed them fairly recently.
Destroyed.
We can get into and relish that whole 30-point beatdown soon. I promise that we will talk about the Spurs game soon. But I mean, if the Spurs had only had Kawhi, who was voted in as a starter over Draymond, came from behind and passed everybody. You know, if they had only had one starter and many other teams have two, it just seems like that would have been an almost even bigger snub.
Right.
To me, the weirdest situation in the All-Star game, and maybe I'm just daft and missed something, but how is it that Tyronn Lue is coaching the East squad, having coached three games now, and Kerr isn't coaching? Did he ask out of it? Or, I mean,
no.
How does...
So, the way it works, so the Kerr thing is... Actually, I guess both are somewhat simple. So, the Kerr thing was the league has a rule where you can't coach the game 2 years in a row.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah, so, but it's still interesting, right? Because, obviously, Kerr didn't really coach the team, right? So, you could have made an argument for Luke Walton, who is currently 0-0 in his NBA career. So, then I guess, yeah, you have... what normally would happen is the second place, the coach of the second place team would take over. So that's what happened with Kerr.
So,
I do think it would have been interesting to have Luke Walton do it.
That would have been amazing.
But I guess, you know, I don't know if they're...
Luke could have done it and had Kerr as his go-to assistant.
That
and, like,
would have
forced
been awesome.
him to to do so awesome. Like, Charlie work, if you have ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But
I have watched that show, yes.
Okay. Yeah, the idea of Kerr doing Charlie work is very appealing for whatever
hilarious
reason.
But with Lou, so the Lou situation is just that, you know, Blatt would have been the first in the East. He would have been the all-star coach.
Right.
Obviously, he was fired. So, which I guess is something else we could talk about because that's recent. We haven't had a podcast since. But so he was fired. And so then you could either do the same thing and say that, or something similar where the second place coach takes it because the first place guy is fired, is gone. But, you know, I think I was reading about that over the week. And, you know, Lou made some good quotes about that, I think, when he said, in the end, it's Blatt's coaching staff that also deserves the credit for getting that team to first place.
Right.
This is such a hilarious situation, right? I mean,
you should just have LeBron first place. Coach it.
Yeah, have a LeBron coach. I mean, that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a nice gesture to have Lou. I know people are kind of like, probably like, what the hell is going on? But,
right.
Yeah, you know, the coaching staff plays a role in getting a team to first, so it's more about that.
I'll link to this in the link section of aforementioned link section, mm-hmm. section, but there was a hilarious graphic. I think it was on Bleacher Report, actually, that mm-hmm. had a cartoon mashup of, like, one half was a cartoon of Popovich, like a faceless Popovich, and the other half was a Lou. And on Popovich's lapel, he has all of his trophies, all of his like executive of the year awards, a bunch of, it's like a army vest almost. It's just filled with stuff. And on Lou's, all he had is a silhouette of Iverson stepping over him.
Well, and that's, who remembers Tyronn Lue for anything else?
Well,
seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, being stepped over was like his biggest moment. I mean, granted, he's in the finals.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the NBA finals, have you? So, I mean,
no.
You haven't even had the opportunity to be.
I haven't even stepped foot in a building during the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you've at least been
I haven't
there.
Stepped in a building, you know, in this 200 level during the finals. But, I mean, I wasn't stepped over. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
You sure somebody didn't try to, like, get out to get a beer or something and
step accidentally over me? Yeah. It actually might have happened, that 200 scrum. I don't know. You never know.
Don't lie. You were blackout that whole game.
That is not true. There were people there to witness it. I was present.
What I was going to circle back to, though, is that I think it's hilarious that I don't know how the All-Star rules work because I just never really had to pay attention to it before because the Warriors never had any players in the All-Star game.
This is correct.
And now we have three, which is just silly. It's so silly. And again, so we'll see how that all works. But I think incredibly deserving to Draymond.
Absolutely.
The writer who actually broke the news is like a beat writer that nobody really heard of out of Delaware. I have no idea how this guy got the info, but he tweeted it out about 5 or 6 hours before the NBA actually released the names. And of course, everybody was very hesitant to jump on the news because he was verified by Twitter, but he doesn't have a particularly large following and is not. I don't think he's necessarily connected to a specific team, although I could be very wrong. But and then the Atlanta Hawks beat writer confirmed it, but hours later, and then everybody jumped on it.
Right.
It's just so interesting how these things happen, because then, like, Mike Prada's is, like, you know, breaking the news on SB Nation, and it would have – I did, too. I published on Golden State of Mind about how the three of them had made it, and I was like, man, I hope that these guys are right, because there's no way to know. I mean, we only published it about 15 minutes before they announced it, but – what a world, technology.
Crazy.
So a question that you brought up before we jumped on here, you wrote, sarcastic, colon, would it have been better for Draymond to be left off? How big would the chip on his shoulder be? I like that you put sarcastic as if I wouldn't have, actually, I would have thought that you were being real, because I think maybe it would have been a better move for us in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can get him kicked off or something. Yeah, it's like, he'll find motivation regardless, right? You know, he'll probably find motivation, like, secretly from the fact that he's not a starter.
Exactly.
Or Kobe Bryant or somebody. I mean, he'll find motivation. I just think it would have been hilarious to, like, I mean, what kind of tear would he have gone on in the second half of the season if he wasn't an all-star? It would have been pretty awesome to watch, you know? MVP-level performance from Draymond Green gets the team to, like, 79 wins or something crazy.
Oh,
that's not actually possible right now, but 78 is actually still in reach.
78's on the table?
It's on the table, so...
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, lock it in. I mean, he might not know. I haven't looked at his Twitter feed. Maybe nobody's told him. We could try to
try to lie our way into giving him a bigger chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, no, that would be ridiculous. But yeah, so Draymond obviously is first time All-Star. Klay is going for the second time. Again, the enigma that is Klay. How do you see Klay being affected, if at all? If anything affects Klay, he is so stoic in certain ways. I guess this is a stupid question, but who do you think this means more to, Draymond or Klay?
Oh, Draymond.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, first time. The guy's been craving respect for his entire life. Nothing will ever be enough. I mean, and that's awesome. I think that's good. He's got hunger, but I mean, it'd be an interesting question to ask of like Steph or somebody, like somebody on the team, what they think. But maybe like, cause maybe Thompson is like, you know, in his quiet moments by himself, is this really like crazy emotive guy that we just never see, but that's highly unlikely.
He's like writing.
Can you imagine like in a bullying Klay Thompson? That would be crazy. Such
I just know when you ego. Said that, I just imagine like a Klay Thompson alone in his palatial mansion with his little dog, that like crazy dog that he brings around, like writing slam poetry and like drawing like ballpoint pen drawings that could have been out of the first season of True Detective.
Oh my goodness. That'd be crazy.
That's the image for whatever reason that I have. Because you know if Klay draws that it's like some creepy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Of
that's
like,
the thing. Maybe there's a side of Klay we just don't know. And maybe it's not creepy.
And it's like all just pictures of his dog.
That would
it's like
be,
crazy ballpoint well, picture.
That would be creepy. Ivan, where are you?
We need like a bat signal for Ivan that just is like
exactly when it goes off the rails.
It just lights up San Francisco skyline and it just says Ivan and then it starts scrolling. It's like Bram is talking about Klay Thompson drawing pictures of his dog. Please come back. Stop working, Ivan, and come help us. Anyways, okay. So it gets to another question is beyond like if players have incentives tied into it or salary type situations. For example, I saw that something about if, and I didn't verify this, but if Anthony Davis had missed out on the All-Star game, he was in line to lose millions and millions of dollars, just the way his contract is structured.
Okay.
But so beyond like the incentive based, which I don't, maybe you do, I don't know the specifics of each of their three contracts as far as this goes. But do these selections really even matter in the larger scope of things? How do you see them? I mean, we kind of touched on this, but how do you see this moving them as we go forward?
You know, that's a good question. I've always thought of it as, I mean, don't you think players like the rest to some extent? I mean, they like the recognition, but after, and Draymond, obviously, he probably wants to be there. You probably want the first time. You probably even want the first two or three times. But I imagine after a while, you're just kind of like, whatever, I can stay home and rest for this period of time and you know, move forward. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? The underlying sentiment here for me is like this game has become so ridiculous to me the entire weekend. Like I used to look forward to the dunk contest. I struggle with that now. And now the 3-point contest is interesting cause Steph is in it, but you know,
I will say
the
this
whole
much.
Weekend has lost its luster to me. I'm not a big like All-Star weekend fan. So to me, that's what's coming out for me right now. Like, oh, it's nice to have the recognition, but it's not a big deal either way.
I saw something very interesting, which is there were rumblings about, so Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, Draymond, all these super talented big men made the roster. Mm-hmm. There are rumblings that there's actually going to be a big man skills challenge, which I am fully in
favor
of. Yeah.
Well, that would be interesting.
I think
the guard one I don't pay any attention to.
Right.
I just don't see how that matters, but a big man skills competition would be interesting because you might even see things that we don't normally get to see.
Right.
You know, I mean, that could be fun.
Boogie is so talented. I mean, Boogie, covering the Kings sometimes, he has such a sweet shot. He can shoot it from anywhere. He doesn't do it in game. I mean, he's shooting the three much more this year.
Right.
But I mean, his shot is way more pure than Draymond's even, you know? I mean, Draymond has worked really hard on his craft and has gotten a lot better, but he still has that kind of funny, herky old man, weird push shot thing going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait. I mean, the All-Star game itself, it'll be interesting. Kobe will get his Kobe send-off. you know, whatever. But the big man's, I'm all in on the big man skills challenge.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like, maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but like, I don't even think we talked about Kobe that much with Drew.
No, we forgot to. We talked off air afterwards. Like, yeah, how do we have the Lakers, you know, editor on and just fail to mention anything about Kobe other than
that was crazy. But yeah, we should have gotten Drew's thoughts on that. But
I mean, we're pros. You know?
Yeah, exactly. We're pros.
What are your thoughts on it? While we're talking about Kobe,
I mean, I'm not, I'm not a Kobe fan. So I mean, I think he's taking. Look, obviously, I said I don't care about the game much, so I'm not angry about it. I just think it's kind of. I think it makes a mockery of the event in a way. I understand people are saying it's sentimental value, but there's so many other ways you can send a player off. Like, here's an idea: every single arena he goes to for the last time could like give him a trophy or something. Wouldn't that be funny?
Well,
I'm just like, whatever. I don't know.
I still like, and I don't think we covered this because I don't think the news had broken when we recorded that podcast with Drew, because we recorded it at like 2 a.m. or something stupid for me, at least in the East Coast.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But the news that subsequently broke about, you know, everybody was like, oh, they gave Kobe a case of really nice wine. Yeah. And then it turned out the wine had decals on it that said from the 2015 NBA champion Warriors and pictures of the trophy.
Yeah, I think that
which
was
I
awesome.
Thought was the best. I mean, that was ever. High class troll. It was whoever arranged that deserves a slow clap. Which actually, here, this might overload the mic, but just the slowest of the slow claps. Julie, but it could have been Bob Myers or whoever. But honestly, it was probably Kerr. That like stinks of Kerr's crazy wacky.
It could be Kerr.
Elfin.
I would like to know who came up with that idea. That's true.
Well, we should get Julie.
The PR folks. We should get Julie on.
Get Julie on and ask. That'll definitely be a Julie question.
Yes. Absolutely.
So what were we talking about? Kobe. Yeah, Kobe's going to be at the All-Star game. Yeah, Toronto. I think really we're talking about who the game means a lot to. I think it might mean the most to the city of Toronto, honestly. I think that they're an up-and-coming franchise. They have two players in DeRozan and Lowry, who are Lowry was voted a starter and DeRozan made it as a reserve just announced.
Right.
I mean, really, to me, that's the most exciting backcourt in the NBA outside of the Splash Brothers. And if you get a healthy Bradley Beal, like maybe John Wall, Bradley Beal. But they're definitely up there. And
they're up there.
Yeah.
And Lowry alone, I mean, Lowry alone puts them in the conversation. He's been really impressive this year. He's been impressive against the Warriors. I mean, I think they really did have two shots to win against the Warriors, which is something that I think at the end of the season, not many teams are going to be able to say. So
wait, are we getting ahead of ourselves and talking about the end of the season and how teams are going to be like, hey, we almost beat them that one time?
No, we're just me being really cocky. Like, I'm not even, you know, I'm not trying to be a jackass either. I'm like, I'm really trying to play the straight and narrow here. But like, seriously, look back. Like, it's funny thing. It's like, I was thinking last night, like, Dallas was like a sort of revenge game.
Right.
Like, we're not going to have many revenge games this year. I mean, what, take revenge on what? You know, it's so.
Well, I hope so.
Things like that.
I mean,
like
unless we just
mind.
Start losing. It's oh, still, I mean, there's going to be that. Well, maybe not. I mean, I keep waiting for that game where they lose two in a row and just...
The like, sky starts
this,
falling.
Just the
earthquakes
message.
Erupt in the Bay Area.
Oh, God. Don't even joke about that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's too real. But, you know, like, it could... I don't know. It's just one of those things you never know. We'll see. We have, again, just having three players in. I think last year, didn't Atlanta have four? And it was kind of crazy.
Atlanta had four.
Yeah, they had four, but there was like nobody else was even playing in the East Coast, as far as I tell. Or the Eastern Conference.
You're close to the Eastern Arenas. I've heard that there's basketball played in the East Coast, but
I did go to the Barclays Center yesterday and saw teams practicing, but not actually playing a game. So they might just be almost getting to the payoff, but not quite.
Okay.
I can't report much further than that.
Brooklyn is pretty close.
Although I have seen quite a few Porzingis highlights, which unless they're manufacturing those in like some crazy CGI.
You never know, man.
He does look like somebody who was crafted in a lab. The dude is insanely tall.
He does. We could go on about him for forever.
Yeah.
He's quite a talent. And funny thing is, like, he was booed.
Oh, I know. That's that. My favorite story of the year outside of Warriors stories so far is the kid that they call the crying Porzingis kid, who became like an instant meme or meme or however you pronounce that word. And then now is his biggest fan. And of course, people are going so far out of the way to just write like all of those articles about the two of them. They actually hung out, I guess, or there was pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Picture taken, and the kid was all smiles wearing a Porzingis jersey. And I was like, man, like, the kid is very fickle.
Kids are fickle. They're entitled to it. That's the greatness of childhood.
That is a fickle child.
Laugh.
Does that make me an old man? That was my first thought. Is that
absolutely.
Just quote? That is
absolutely
a fickle child.
You old man, you've like crossed the threshold into old manhood.
I'm not even 30, and I'm like calling children out for being fickle fans of a team that I don't even pay attention to. But
I have a friend who's turning 30 today. And we were at the Warriors game last night, and he was like, you know how they show the things on the Jumbotrons, right? When like the kids are dancing in the stands.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I can't believe that kid is dancing in the middle of the stairs. Does that make me old? I'm like, Dad, yes, that makes you like 56, like 79 or something. What's wrong with you?
No, I don't mind the dancing. I like the overabundance of joy and getting some exercise. I just think
when you stop liking overabundance of joy, you know you're old. Like, that's when it's just like, and I catch myself sometimes too. I'm like, why is that kid laughing in the store? Be quiet. Like, wow, I'm getting up there. I remember the Weber years. This is clearly a sign.
I remember the Weber years, and I'm angry at children for no reason.
Exactly. Clearly, I'm old.
Yeah, clearly I'm old.
You'll get there too, Bram. You'll get there.
Dude, it's. I mean, both of those things are true. So, I mean, I was apparently in my memory a non-fickle Warriors fan child during the Weber years, but I do remember that I didn't like the Joe Smith draft, and I was proven I was right. So
yes.
I was not a fickle
most
child in
people
that situation.
With never mind, that's not nice. I that draft actually frustrates me, because I still don't understand how you could look at those prospects behind Joe Smith and pick Joe Smith. The thing is, like, the funny thing about Joe Smith, and people said the same thing about Kwame Brown actually. What's wrong? Exactly. Why are we talking about this? All right, go ahead. We're talking about the All-Stars.
No, we're talking about it now.
This is Warriors fan, though. You win a championship, and you're still pissed off that Joe Smith was drafted first overall. That still annoys me.
Man.
Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
I don't even remember. I mean, I was talking about getting angry at children. So I feel like
Joe. Well, let's go back to getting angry at children then.
I seriously have not laughed that hard in a while.
That was
great.
I'm glad you.
That is definitely point in case why we need an Ivan Light.
We need Ivan. He would have cut that off like right away. He would have been like, he would have said like, yeah, that Joe Smith draft sucks. So anyway, our next point.
He would also been like, don't get angry at children you don't know. Don't even root for your team.
He's a stand-up guy. And we're just not. This is clear. That's the case.
Whew. I guess that's kind of my point, is that there's a lot of fickle children who root for the Warriors now. And when they lose their second game, it's going to literally be the first time.
It's going to feel like, yeah, it's going
to
feel
Yeah, they're not
like
going
to
know what to do. There's going to be crying, you know, a lot of crying. All right, what was the next?
Tears and gnashing of teeth.
All right, let's talk about the Spurs. Oh, Lord. All right, so they won. In case you've been living under a rock, the Warriors won the Spurs game, and not only did they win it, but they won it by a few points. And like
a few.
Times more than 10 points, as in 30. It was one of the worst beatdowns of the Spurs that I can remember in a long time, and granted, the Spurs were sitting Tim Duncan, but there's, you know, that's not a 30-point swing. I think the Warriors came out with just the blood and bile in their throats and were angry and took it out on a somewhat unsuspecting Spurs team. What were your takeaways from that game?
Nothing respectful. And the Spurs are such a class organization. I was kind of, you know, at this point, it's probably fair for us to expect the Warriors to step up in these big game situations. And I think that's kind of what I'm taking away. Like, I mean, they just blew out the Cavs, you know, on the road. We should not mention health around the Cavs anymore, because they'll always have caveats where, you know, they weren't mentally healthy because their coach is about to get fired or something. They'll out there. But, you know, I think what we should acknowledge, and the question was always, when it comes down to the postseason, will this team be tough enough to win big games? And they've just proven time and time again this year that they're up for any challenge. And I think that's what I take away from it more than anything. There was nothing. The Spurs kind of looked out of sorts, but the Warriors also looked really good. And I was reading through Pounding the Rock today, because Pounding the Rock is quite honestly becoming like the gold standard of SB Nation NBA in some ways, or one of the gold standards, I think.
Shout out JR Wilco.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome.
He is awesome. And I think, you know, there was one article titled, you know, the Spurs are not even the same class as the Warriors yet, or something like that. And I think that's what it looked like. It looked like this was a team that was a class below the Warriors. And that's what, you know, as much as we try, we keep doing this with the Warriors. And I think people want the Warriors to not be as good as they are. I think, because it's really hard to believe that this team of draft picks that are all made by the Warriors, and draft picks that everybody doubted for one reason or another. We keep talking about this every time we get on the podcast, but it's worth saying again, in this case.
It's inescapable, yeah.
Yeah, it is inescapable. Like, people want this team to at some point show the weakness they expected them to show, and they just repeatedly don't show it. And it's, I'm in disbelief, and I just cannot believe what this team is capable of. And the thing is, we're still scratching the surface of what this team could become at full strength. And I'm including Kevon Looney in that, even though I don't know where he's at. And he's obviously would not have had an impact. He's not going to have an impact, wouldn't expect, in the playoffs this year. But let's say he becomes a player, or even like half a player. I mean, this team could be better. They could be deeper than they are now. It's almost impossible to believe, but it's like we keep seeing signs of that everything we thought we knew about them is probably like a bunch of partial truths. And I think I got to be honest with you. I cannot remember anything specific from the Spurs game except just being like, this cannot be happening. And I remember we were on our, you know, our Slack chat. I think it was Apricot who posted, like, I think it must have been the third quarter. It was like a 29-point lead. He was like, this 29-point lead does not feel safe.
I know,
it's true. It did. There was a point where I was like, you know, you never know. The Warriors have blown the Pacers. They've blown leads all year. They could blow the lead, and they never did. And I think that's, again, we're starting to see this team really gel. And as crazy as it sounds for a team with only 4 wins at this point in the season,
only 4 wins,
we're starting to see this team like finally start to gel.
Right.
Four losses, not 4 wins.
Well, and again, and Kerr's back.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, like, and Kerr's back. Yeah. Right. He's trying different lineups now, and you're seeing the rotations just work a little bit more fluidly. I mean, this team is capable of even greater than we've seen. I don't think they're going to win 78 games, obviously, but I'm starting to see those 4 losses as like more and more hiccups, just like random expected, somewhat unpredictable hiccups that happen because you can't play outstanding basketball or exemplary basketball for 82 times. And that's just a crazy thought in my head. I can't get away from. And I know it sounds nuts, but
what
can you say about this team?
Yeah. Do you think that Popovich threw the game to throw the Warriors off his scent?
Oh, totally Popovich would do. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to say that the Warriors side of that performance is due to that. You know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly.
They still played outstanding basketball against one of the, not yeah. just the best organizations in the NBA, but one of the best organizations in sports.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. It's remarkable that we're even talking about that.
So their organization is so well run. How many fickle children fans do you think they have in San Antonio? I bet that none of them are fickle. No, I bet they're all just super straight laced and expectant of greatness.
No, they're fickle. They have to be. Although, yeah, I guess after a while you just get used to it. Maybe when they like don't make the Western Conference Finals, they start burning jerseys. I don't know. What do you do in San Antonio?
You watch the Spurs, apparently, and you comment on Pound the Rock.
Yeah, that's true.
And you read Pound the Rock. I think everybody in San Antonio just, it's part of their, it's like piped into their brainwaves somehow automatically by JR. It's
impressive. I think that's his secret.
Mind control. Seth Pollock, if you're listening to this, we demand that you look into this.
We demand an investigation.
An investigation or the technology to implement it on our own site.
Or just, you know, an 11-hour hearing with, like, various members from SB Nation sites. I think that would work as well.
I feel like that would be really boring, though. I'd rather just gain technology access. Like, still fickle after all these years. That's going to be on my bumper sticker. Or I'm going to get a bumper sticker and put it on my car. And it'll be set to the Paul Simon song.
Nice. Why not stay fickle?
Stay fickle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just and because, like, you know, you should embrace your childhood.
Just a picture of Joe Smith. And everybody be like, who is that? Right. And you'd be like, exactly. Hashtag never forget. Is there anything else you'd like to add at all? to this thorough conversation? Hey, you were the one talking about 11-hour hearings.
That is true. I mean, I think it's just, this is just a weird space to be in. It's funny, whenever I bring new writers on to DSOM, I always use the example, well, I mean, the example seems kind of silly, but I always use the example of, like, you know, what are you going to feel about writing when we're at game, like, number 56 and this is a game against the Bucks? Now, of course, the Bucks beat the Warriors this year, so my example needs to change. But my point being that, like, you know, there is this point in the season, especially when you're this good, where it starts to become routine. And I was going to write about this at some point, maybe this weekend, but, like, it was interesting. I was at Oracle last night with my buddy whose birthday is today. And it's kind of weird that, like, the Warriors were, like, up 8 in the second quarter and Oracle was in that, like, ambient noise murmur mode where, like, people were disengaged and almost disappointed.
Right.
And it's like, we're up 8 on a playoff team. And it's like, you can't even, this has become so routine that it really is, you know, and it's funny, Matt Moore, CBS Sports, said this early in the season. He's talking about how the Warriors are boring, but I think people are starting to get bored. And yeah. I think you can really start to feel it, because if they're not up 18, and it's not just bored, but it really is spoiled bored.
Right.
You know, it's like, if they're not up 18 in the second quarter, we're just like, what's going on here? I mean, how can this not happen? Why does Steph only have 1 point? This is nuts. And yeah. Then Steph, of course, was more than 1 point. They pulled away, but it's a weird season. It's a weird experience. I don't know. I can't think of other, you know, maybe Bulls fans have a better perspective of this, because maybe this did happen with Bulls fans, but I think Michael Jordan was so larger than life. And I think the Bulls spent so much time, you know, the Bulls went on a actual, like, journey that included adversity. And I really think the Warriors haven't, like, they just kind of, like, suddenly got good out of nowhere and won a championship, and now they're, like, historically good. And it wasn't the same kind of stair climb that even the Thunder had, where they kind of, like, went through a little bit of stages. So I don't even know what to say about this team anymore.
Yeah. Well, looking ahead on Saturday, they play the 76ers at 76ers, followed by Sunday, it's the last day of January, the 31st, at Knicks. You'd think that'd be two wins. You never know. Weird things happen. Back to back, they're traveling. Porzingis is Porzingad. He could, you know, put back dunk all over everyone. But any predictions for the next couple games?
I hope Kevon Looney plays in both games. I hope we have more to say about him.
I saw they sent him down to Santa Cruz to get some playing time, and I'm sure they'll recall
him. But they can pull him back up by that time. I mean, I think it – and I figured one thing I was thinking last night was that part of the reason they brought him up for this game last night was that they were planning to take him on that trip and wanted to give him a little run. But I think this would be a great time for him, just to see what we got with that pick there.
What kind of lineups do you see them utilizing him in?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he had that really nice move last night, right? This one bucket where he has so much talent. I don't know if you know, I think playing him with Steph and Clay is interesting, because I really see him as a putback artist. And I think he'll be really good at that, or a guy who get a lot of boards and clean up the boards. So, but does he fit with, does he fit next to Bogut? Does he fit next to Azili? I just think we haven't seen enough yet. I mean, he looked like a deer in headlights on yeah. a number of possessions.
Well, he's like, still, he's so
yeah,
young.
Yeah, of course. He's young. He's yeah. a rookie. I mean, he's a young, you know, not only rookie, a young rookie. I mean, you know, Parsons took him to school like a number of occasions, however many it was like two or three, where defensively he just couldn't hang. So, I think it's just too early yet to tell. I think in any of the predictions people have, you know, when the bucket he made, the way he made it, yeah, you could imagine like poor man's Durant, but you could also, and people have said this, you know, in people's imagination, that's the funny thing about Looney, right? People's imaginations are going Looney over Looney. Oh. I'm not the first person to say this. I'm just repeating it.
You're the first and last person to say this on this podcast
yes.
though.
Yes. In fact, you can delete that if you like.
Nope.
But, you know, people's imaginations are going wild because I think, well, number one, it's just uncertainty. But there's so many glimpses of talent there. Yeah, I still see more of an athletic rebounder, which is kind of a new age thing, like a 3-and-rebound guy.
Right. I'll say this about him. When we were both in Vegas for Summer League, mm-hmm. he got better every game. And
yeah,
like
he did.
The difference between his first game and his last game, which was only 4 or 5 games or whatever it was so pronounced, especially seeing it up close, and his comfort level and the flow of the offense. And they were running, you know, some interesting stuff. And Walton again was coaching that team. It was like everybody looked not that great because it's summer league, you know?
Right.
And then by the end, he was like the best player on the floor for either team. And it was a very quick transition. And I remember thinking like, wow, like, that is what makes these guys stand out, you know, because you don't have a lot of first round talent on the floor in Vegas other than the obvious players. And to me, Kevon looked, by the end of it, he looked right up there in terms of comfort level and the shots that he was hitting and just crashing the boards. He was definitely right up there with some of the bigger guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got talent. Yeah, we just got to see more before we talk about fit, I think the Warriors are just going to experiment a bit, and they have that luxury now because, you know, fourth quarters don't matter anymore.
All right, well, you know, on a parting note, you know who Kevon really reminds me of? I'll give
Who's
you a
that?
Guess.
I don't know. Who?
Joe Smith.
Stop that. Are you, like, trying to trigger me? It's crazy. Hell.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another splendiferous version of Golden State of Mindcast. We strongly encourage you to read and comment on all of the pieces that we put up, including this one, which should be going up on a Friday morning, which is tomorrow for us and the present day for you. So thank you so much. My name has been, or still continues to be, Bram Kinchlow. This has been Nate Parham, and...
Can I be a symbol formerly known as Nate Parham?
You can. The artist formerly known as the symbol that currently is Nate Parham's fear of Joe Smith.
Wow.
Yeah. It's super real up in here.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Say hi to Spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.